You're listening to the Madison Beer Review Podcast.
Because Olympic fever has just swept the nation, we decided to do our own beer games in honor of the Beijing Olympics.
So, how this is going to work, we've come up with a bunch of different categories that we figure represent the best in beer athletic achievement, and we've all chosen our favorites in said categories, and we will discuss.
Yeah, you know, basically, I would say athletic might be the most insignificant term in that whole part, but yeah, it's a bunch of categories, and by no means are these going to be the most high-regarded categories, as maybe the other higher beer judges in the world would say, but I think these are just as important.
All right, so without further ado, we're starting off with the best 40-ounce beer.
That's right, the 40. I went with the High Gravity Old English 800 malt liquor. It's the ghetto standard out on the streets. There's nothing like showing up to a party with a big old 40 of HG. It'll really get your night going. Probably get your night ending, too.
Now, see, I personally went because I like showing up to parties to play Edward 40 hands, but I still like to be able to pee. So my choice was the Mickey's, because you get those grenade-shaped Mickey's, and you can still pee. There's no problem.
Well, you know, I have to disagree with the traditional choices on this one. I went with Liqueur de Malt, made by Dogfish Head out in Delaware. This is one that they decided to make a fancy malt liquor. It's brewed with three kinds of corn, Aztec red, white, and blue corn. It's bottle conditioned, and instead of having a normal label on it, they package it in a brown paper bag with their logo stamped on. So I think that's got to be the classiest 40-ounce bottle that you can buy out there.
And once Matt gets his thumb out of his nose, then we'll be able to hear who the real winner is.
What do the judges think? What do the judges think?
Well, we all know 40s are nothing but class, so I'm going to go with Liqueur de Malt.
Absolutely.
It's an upset to the classic.
The next category, we're going to go with Best West Coast IPA.
Seems to be a pretty big trend right now, the what we would consider overhopping beers. So we decided to make it a category. Kyle?
Personally, I went with Sierra Nevada. When I think West Coast, that's the first place that comes to mind. And I went with their Torpedo. It's a really nice IPA, and it's going to have more of like an ambery orange color to it, which I think is really cool.
I also went with Sierra Nevada, but I went with the Fresh Harvest series, bringing in at about 72 IBUs. It's a really nice IPA. And I think Sierra Nevada, one of the founders of the West Coast Brewing, a great company to go with.
I went a little further up the coast, up to Rogue, and I think their IPA is just a really solid brew. I don't have much else to say about it. It's just, you know, Rogue is another one that makes some progressive beers and stuff that we can get around here, and they do a pretty solid job, so that's my choice.
By my numbers, it looks like Torpedo gets this one.
All right. Mark one down for Torpedo.
That's whack.
All right. Next category is the foamiest beer.
I got this one. I know this one is going to win. If any of you have ever been out at a college party and someone drags in the keg of Milwaukee's Best, it's warm, it's been overpumped and shaken, it's like 18 pitchers of foam before you even get a drop of beer. Milwaukee's Best in a keg. That's my pony.
See, I can top that, though, because when I was at the malt house, I ordered a Gutenbrock.
Well, to be fair, this is like the second day they were open.
It was.
Throw this out there.
But, I mean, to be fair, he's talking about a very, very specific situation of a keg in a trunk going to a party.
True.
So
you have another specific situation.
Continuing on specific situation trends, it took me approximately 20 minutes to get my beer because it was just so foamy that I could not get Gutenbrock from the tap.
But was it worth it?
It was all right.
Okay.
It was a little foamy.
Well, see, now mine does not require a specific situation other than having a bottle of the beer. It's got to be Belgian's.
And having the appropriate glass.
I suppose having the appropriate glassware, although I would assume pouring it in the inappropriate glass would probably still result in a foamy beer, but I got to go with Duvel from Belgium, a beer that where the appropriate glassware is about four times the size of the actual liquid to accommodate the insane amount of foam in the beer.
A beer that is meant to be foamy.
Yeah.
Let's look to the judges panel on this one.
I'm going to have to go for Duvel on this.
All right.
All right. Well, up next, we have the fruitiest beer. Kyle, why don't you start this one off?
Well, about 3 years back, I had a beer. It was called Wild Blue. It was a blueberry beer. And it was the fruitiest beer I've ever had. It was hard to tell if it was juice or not, or beer. And also, it was purple. And I could have thought it was just plain old juice mixed with beer, but that's what I'm going with.
Sugar, water, and purple beer.
Purple beer.
I personally chose Goose Island's Juliet, which I believe they'll be premiering sometime this year. They had it at the Great Taste. It's a phenomenal beer. It was a sour ale brewed with blackberries. It was awesome.
Yeah, that one was pretty good, but I don't think it's quite as fruity as the New Glarus Wisconsin Belgian Red with over a pound of cherries in every bottle. That's about as fruity as it gets.
I don't know. Let's see what the judges have to say.
Just based on the name alone, you have to give it to Juliet.
That was yours. Shoot.
All right. Next category is for session beer.
All right. I got this one. This one, of all session beers, you've got to think of what do you have in your fridge at all times. And of all session beers, I think back to what my dad has always had, and that's Special Export. It's not the greatest tasting of all beers, but it's cheap. And because it's not the greatest, you're not going to drink like 15 of them. So, you know, as far as a session beer goes and what the requirements are, it's a quick, easy drinking beer that's easy on the wallet.
I've never had that in my fridge.
Yeah, never has entered my fridge.
Both of you, yeah.
One beer that I do often have in my fridge, and I'm actually starting to see it more and more around here, is Grain Belt Premium. It's an August Shell beer. Originally it was their own thing, but they were bought up by August Shell. It's an American light lager. It's amazing. It tastes a little bit banana-y. It's really crisp, really refreshing. And, yeah, it's from Minneapolis, so you got to like that.
Yeah, I mean, Grain Belt's hard to top, but if you're in Madison, I mean, what's the session beer that they have at every bar that you can get? You know, you're sitting out on the terrace. It's a warm summer day. You want a little something to sip, nice and easy. You got to go with New Glarus Spotted Cow.
I'd also say New Glarus is a little bit on the higher end of the dollar mark, which of a session
true
beer.
For
that's
session
awesome.
Beer.
My Grain Belt's $9.49 for a 12-pack.
Very nice.
Ooh, I don't know. Tough call.
Well, my wallet says that as good as Spotted Cow as Grain Belt gets this one.
There it was.
I can see that.
Moving on from that, the American Macro Lager category, I'm going to be going with Coors. And not Coors Light, Coors Original. Coors Light, as you all know, is a silver bullet. Coors Original is the gold cannon right here. And I think it's an awesome beer as far as the American Macro Lager category goes.
In my opinion, once again, I'm going with Grain Belt. Grain Belt Premium out of August Shell. Phenomenal.
It's tough to beat, but if you're going with the macro style, you know, Leinenkugel's Original is one that you can get about the same price as these other beers, but it's still got a little bit more in the flavor department, I think, so that's what I'm going with.
Judge's ruling is Grain Belt.
Oh, once again.
Pulls
oh, my
head.
Goodness.
Grain Belt quickly becoming the Michael Phelps of beer.
All right, next one we got is Best on Tap.
Ooh, tap, you go to any bar, you look down their tap line right away, you're going to say Guinness. It stands out, you're going to find it in more bars than any other beer, I would say. And also, when you pour that beer, it looks awesome. Just watching it is a feat in itself, so Guinness is my choice.
Say best beer on tap, you go to any bar, any place, they probably won't have this one. But if you go to the specific few, you'll be able to get Coors and Dunk Patter. It's an Abbey Brown Ale. Awesome, awesome glassware. May not be as common as Guinness, though.
Well, right. I'm going to go with another uncommon one. This is, you know, best beers that I've had on tap. One of my favorites has been at Brasserie V a bunch of times and other places around town is the Valdu Grand Cru. You know, it's definitely not a session beer. That's not one you want to drink a whole bunch of. But for that one, it's a nice goblet, delicious color, everything. It's a great solid beer.
You spelled Guinness wrong.
I did. Well, yeah, you know, Microsoft Word was giving me issues.
And that's your best on tap. Clearly don't read the taps too closely.
Spelling or not, Guinness gets a landslide on us.
Live coverage now coming to you from the Firkin tent. We're going to be going from the best beer on Firkin. My personal pick was one I actually got to have at the Great Taste, and that was the Minneapolis Town Hall. And that was an awesome beer.
The Kentucky Breakfast?
Yes, I believe that was that it? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It wasn't in the Firkin tent, though.
It was on Firkin at their booth.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
If you listened in last week, though, we did have an interview with the Firkin
Yeah, that's right.
It sounded something like...
That was it.
And it was beautiful.
Well, that's my pick.
My personal pick is one you can get around town here most times is the Bell's Amber. They have it at Maduro quite a bit. It's a phenomenal beer on its own, and I personally like it better on Firkin.
Well, my pick is one from my short travels in England, one that you see on cask a whole lot over there, Fuller's London Pride. It's a great pale ale, just a really solid brew, and it's one of those that, yeah, you see it on Firkin all the time, and it's a really good choice anywhere you go.
Judge is ruling it's a tight battle, but this one goes to Minneapolis Town Hall.
Ooh.
All right.
It's tough to beat. It's tough to beat the Kentucky Breakfast aged on Belgian chocolate.
Sounds like it's tough to beat Minneapolis right now.
Yeah, ooh.
They're doing well.
They're pulling the U.S. along. All right, so up next we have Best Beer in Bottle. And this is not, it doesn't have anything to do with the actual bottle, but it's whatever beer you think best is drank straight from the bottle. So Kyle, what do you got?
You guys are probably going to take me outside and beat me after this one, but I'm going to go with Corona with a lime in it. If it's a beer in a bottle, there's nothing like taking a really skunky beer out to the beach and having it last for about 2 minutes. But I think the Corona is a good beer in regards that, I mean, if you throw in a lime in it, it is a nice beer to have out on the beach that people seem to like. Personally, I would go with something in a can or something, but...
Well, I mean, can't we get a little disqualification for the lime since the beer is juicing?
I get... Oh, well, you know.
I think...
Fruit disqualification?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
well, I don't know. Well, without the fruit.
Let's leave that one to the judges.
All right.
I've never seen Corona prepackaged with lime in the bottle, so I think there's some user operation that goes into account in that as well. So I don't know about that. Seems like a little bit of coaching. My personal pick was Bell's Two Hearted, because I really think it's the most refreshing bottled beer out there.
Mine was, I got to go in the IPA category as well. Dogfish Head 60 Minute, just a solid IPA.
Basically, we're looking at a blowout here for Two Hearted.
I got disqualified for juicing, didn't I?
Yeah, we didn't even look at it.
All right, the next one is Best Mini Keg. You've seen them. You've had them at parties. What's the best beer out of a mini keg?
You bought the Heineken setup?
Yeah, that's right, the home bartender.
I think mini kegs are awesome. You want to get a beer, you want a keg, but you don't want to go get a massive keg.
You don't want the commitment.
Yeah, it's a big commitment.
It's baggage.
It's more like a one-night stand, but with your beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
exactly.
For me, I'm going to go with the Polliner. I think it's a great keg, and I think it's a great beer.
I once again went with the Two Hearted because I really like it, and I'm glad they released that one in mini keg alongside the Oberon, because I was never really too pumped about the Oberon, but the Two Hearted is where it's at.
Well, my choice for that one, going back to the original mini keg at least that I was familiar with, maybe they had them in Germany before this, but Heineken, I mean, come on. They got the home bartender set up. Have you seen those commercials? Everywhere that home bartender goes, there's a huge party for 5 liters of beer. Right?
Yeah. No.
No? That's not how it works?
I don't think so.
Well, marketing fails once again. Probably. What do the judges have to say about this one?
This medal's going overseas to Polliner.
Ho-ho.
Oh, it's a good choice, I think.
Now a category that may be a little controversial to some, but...
Not in Wisconsin. It's legal here.
Yeah, in Wisconsin, this is completely right. We're going to go with the best beer to start your kids on.
Under strict parental supervision, and only with permission of said parents.
Yeah, you know, so keep it safe. But
best beer to start your kids on.
Yeah, I went with Red Dog for two reasons. One, it's the first beer I remember ever drinking. And second, if you don't want your kids to drink beer, give them a Red Dog, and they'll probably not drink another beer for at least 5 years.
Is that the pack of cigarettes in the closet theory? You catch your kids smoking a cigarette, make them
finish
the pack.
The whole pack.
Yeah. Do that with Red Dog?
I would say so, yeah.
We're going to drink the whole case.
Yeah.
It's probably not a very safe decision.
No.
I personally went with Guinness, because while drinking a Guinness, you could also teach your kids the science behind nitrogen and CO2 and what happens when they mix.
Well, I went a little different route. I sort of thought about coffee and how you sort of introduce kids to coffee nowadays. You know, Starbucks is trying to do that with all their frou-frou coffee drinks. That's how I got into coffee, you know. You have a mocha, a lot of sugar in there with the chocolate and then whipped cream, and next thing you know, you're drinking dark coffee, right? So I said, what about beer? Start off with Lindeman's Frambois, right? Raspberries, it's fruity, it's just like, it's juice, but it's still beer. Just after that, maybe take a step, maybe do Castile Rouge. It's still got a little cherry in there, but it's not super fruity. Next thing you know, you're doing pale ales, you're doing IPAs and imperial stouts. Stuff coming from Miller and Budweiser just seems like water.
So what you're trying to say is fruit beer is the gateway beer to drinking.
Okay. Absolutely.
But see, now there's the progressive side of that where, you know, the people start their kids on decaf espresso and decaf cafe au lait. I think this is where Guinness comes in handy because it's a nice heavy beer with a science education background.
And it's only like 3.8.
Yeah, exactly.
It helps.
I'm not going to get too drunk.
Yeah.
Well, they are kids.
Still. I get a little drunk.
Yeah.
Well, as judges, there's no way we couldn't support education. Guinness gets this medal.
No children left behind.
All right, the next category is best Sally beer. Best beer for the ladies.
For the ladies?
Or the men who decide to
be ladies for a night.
Yeah. Well, due to some juicing issues, I am going to have to go with strictly Corona. What is done with it after is strictly up to the user, but I'm going to go with Corona.
With or without lime?
I'm competing with Corona.
All right. You going straight this time? You don't want to push your luck this time?
If the judge were to say, I would like a lime, that is up to their discretion. But this is a strictly, completely sober, not in alcohol, but of juicing regards, Corona beer.
Mm.
I chose Unibrew Ephemere, and I was very conscious of the juicing policy. And what's nice about this one is they use apples in the fermentation process. So they're not, like, adding the juice. It's just being extracted. But it ends up being the sweetest. It's all juicy like a pear. And you could have a lot of these in one night and have a good night. Probably have a little gut rot in the morning, but it'd be delicious.
Well, if you're thinking about Sally beers, you have to go back to the traditional British shandy, and that's where the ladies would take a half a pint of beer and a half a pint of lemonade and mix them together so that they could have it, you know, nice refreshing beer, not get too drunk in the afternoon. And of course, there's only one bottled version of this that I'm familiar with in these parts, Leinenkugel's refreshing summer shandy.
See, the thing you got to think about, though,
is it really beer? I'm not sure.
Well, this is for a Sally, not necessarily a English lady.
I suppose. So. And is it really beer? That's up for debate.
Well, yeah. I got disqualified for juicing earlier, so you might be careful with your lemonade concoction.
Well, I'd like to make it perfectly clear for future reference, this judge hates limes. Unibrew gets this medal.
All right.
Canadians get on the board.
I think that's the first one for Canada.
Wow, I actually kind of forgot about that country for a while, so back in the game.
All right, the next one was one close to our hearts. After going to the Great Taste of the Midwest, there were many, many oak barrel-aged imperial stouts all over the place. So what was the best oak barrel-aged imperial stout at the Great Taste of the Midwest?
Whatever one I drank before noon.
Yeah. I think that's true.
The one I'm going to go with is Central Waters, their Nitro Stout. I thought it was really good. It's the first stout I've had that's both nitroed and oak-aged, and it was just a really awesome beer to have because you have a whole new way of drinking it. It's kind of almost like a different texture, different mouthfeel from the nitro, and the oak-age was done very well.
I personally went with Surly's Oak-Aged Imperial Darkness, and it was a really good beer. I had never had it before. I had never had the darkness, and I'd only had one other Surly beer, and this one, it really gave them good marks in my book.
I went with, back to the old standard, it's already won, I think, one category, the Minneapolis Town Hall Kentucky Breakfast Oak Barrel Aged Imperial Stout.
That was delicious.
Then aged on Belgian chocolate in the firkin. That was a pretty tough one to beat. That was pretty delicious.
This just in from Kyle's dad.
Through text message. Apparently my father thinks Corona sucks, so... Sorry, Dad.
They haven't won. Have they won anything? They haven't won anything.
No, they haven't won anything.
The judges agree with your dad. So
we're on your side.
Judges think about the oak-aged?
In the oak-aged category, this is a very close race, but it seems Minneapolis Town Hall wins in the end.
I shouldn't have let it go. I had him. I traded them. Can you trade? You can trade in the Olympics. They do trade.
They're free agents.
Yeah.
I don't think that works.
Oh, well. Moving on from that, we're actually going to have a new category entered into this year. It's the best Great Dane Pilsner. For those of you who've been to the Great Dane, they have a lineup of Pilsners.
And we decided plethora.
A plethora would be a very
plethora
good
of Pilsners?
Good literary term. Yeah. I'm going to go with their German Pilsner.
Hmm. Good choice. Good standard.
Yeah.
I went with more of a creative honey Pilsner.
Mm.
Well, see, I'm a fan of their Pex Pilsner. You know, you got the bohemian thing going on. It's a little more hops in there. Pex Pilsner is a nice, refreshing one. What do the judges think?
This is ridiculous. In my career, I've never seen this. We had a last second entry that came in one Miller Lite.
Ooh,
against the metal.
On tap at Hildale.
Miller Lite, another Pilsner.
And for a brew pub, I mean, we have to say it's pretty impressive. First of all, that they got the licensing to be able to brew their own version of Miller Lite.
Now, I don't
it's
know
really impressive. Got the copyright, and it's dead on.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, you know, it's a little weird. It's competing with their own light beer. It's not like the next tap over. But
they did knock it out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, it tastes just like Miller Lite. I mean, to be fair.
Well done.
Hard to argue with that. Next one up is the best Belgian-style light lager.
So if we're going to go with Belgian light lagers, I'm going to go with Budweiser.
As
we all know, is now a Belgian-owned beer. I'm not saying it's too the soon. Best of taste. Too soon, not at all. But it is, as the market has shown, the most successful selling beer in the history of beer.
Well, I'm not quite as hard-hitting as Kyle is. So I went with a more traditional Belgian light lager. I went with Stella Artois. Because they have really good commercials.
They do have really good commercials.
Yeah, I mean, they probably have the best commercials.
Yeah,
you seen Laurie Onyx train?
Yeah.
Just a boar beer. I mean, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. If only the beer were better. I'm going to have to go with the Canadian buyout, Labatt Blue, which is also a nice InBev of Belgium product now. What do the judges think?
Well, I've run the numbers a couple times on this, and we all have to promise we tell no one in Milwaukee about this, but Budweiser wins one.
The sales come through.
All right, the next one we got is Best Sri Lankan Stout.
Ooh, as far as stouts go, there's one I know out of Sri Lanka. Hands down, it's phenomenal. I'm going to go with their Lion Stout.
Ooh. That's weird because I had this other one that just knocks it out of the park. It goes by a similar name, Lion Stout.
Yeah, I had this one on tap at the Brasserie a while back. It's pretty good from Sri Lanka. It was Lion Stout. Lion Stout.
Well, this is going to come as a big surprise, but it seems Lion Stout gets the medal.
Oh, they just snuck right in there.
Wow. Didn't even see it coming.
Man, so it was a really competitive category. The best Sri Lankan Stout.
Check out the conclusion of the Beer Olympics right here on MadisonBeerReview.com on Thursday.